Welcome to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. This is episode 6. Hey guys, welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 6. Today we are welcoming Hugh Lee Johnson, founder of Wealthier University and co-author of The Soul of a Winner, which is 5 True Stories of Success. He is also the creator of the Mommypreneur Challenge, which is a group coaching program launching in January of 2015. So keep your eyes open for that. I will be sure to mention it as soon as the program is launched. Hugh has over 30 years of experience in the sales and customer service industry and is currently lending his experience to the Sonic Automotive's One Sonic Experience launch in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hugh launched his lifelong career as a serial entrepreneur over 40 years ago and has remained excited about sharing the endless possibilities available to business-minded people around the world. In addition, Hugh will be launching his podcast, The Digital Publishing Insider, in the spring of 2015. So again, keep your eyes and ears open because Hugh has a bunch of exciting projects coming up. So without further delay, Hugh, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you this morning?
Fine, how about yourself?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Okay.
I would love to know a story about how it is that you saw the future before you decided to become an entrepreneur. What did you think life would be like before you said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and start my own business and build up Wealthier University?
Well, I think I've always seen the future as being bright, and I always felt that I had some type of control of how the future would unfold. So I just felt that the future was bright. It was up to me to create, you know, there's certain things that we can control and certain things that we can't control. Mm-hmm. So the part that I could control, that's why I felt it was important for me to become an entrepreneur. As an employee, because I had experience with both worlds, as an employee, it equaled less control. I was under the plan of someone else. But as an entrepreneur, since I had a taste of both worlds, I really enjoyed the freedom of it and the control of how you can create your own future and not just affect your future, but the future of your generations to come.
Certainly. So you felt that you had control over what the future would become, but despite the fact that you felt you had control, tell me about a story about a time when you were an employee before you became an entrepreneur and before you decided to, you know, build up your business. What did you, what were you doing before you became an entrepreneur?
Well, I started pretty early. I was actually 12 years old.
Wow.
So at that time, I would go to my father each Saturday and ask him for $5. Mm-hmm. And religiously, he would give a sermon to me on why do I need $5? Why am I asking him for $5? He would tell me how when he was a child, nobody gave him anything. Now, mind you, my father worked. He was an engineer with Ford Motor Company. He was a tool and die man at Ford Motor Company. So he had the money. That wasn't a question. It was a lesson he was trying to teach me. But as a child, I wasn't receiving that lesson yet, you know. So out of frustration, at 11 years old, I went to the local paper station and I asked the manager there, how old do I have to be to start with my own paper route? And he told me, 12 years old. I said, great. I'll be 12 next week. I'll see you then. And like clockwork, that following week, I went there, and he had a route waiting for me.
Wow.
Now, the first route I received was 45 customers. But that wasn't good enough, you know, because, hey. Now, remind you, this is a 12-year-old child thinking here, you know.
Yes, yes.
After starting the route and seeing the grueling things that a paperboy had to go through, for example, getting up 5 a.m. in the morning, going out to deliver papers no matter what, whether it's rain, sleet, or snow, I understood in my young mind that the average boy cannot take this for long. So what I did, I went to the other paperboys that had connecting routes to my route, and I propositioned them. I said, before you quit your route, because I already knew they were going to quit, tell me first so I can take over your route. So what I did, within 3 months, I tripled the size of my route by those young boys coming to me telling me, hey, Hugh, I'm about to quit.
Nice.
And I had first dibs on the route. So I tripled the size in 3 months from 45 customers up to 150 customers.
Wow.
So that was the start, you know, of me being responsible for myself, me having the freedom to create my own future. And 30 years later, me and my dad was out for coffee, and I thanked him for teaching me that lesson, to go out and create your own future.
Yep.
So.
Excellent. Thank you, Hugh. So you, and that's what I was looking for, really taking us back and kind of letting us know, you know, where did this begin for you? What was it that motivated you? Where did you start? And that was an excellent way to explain to the audience, you know, your dad really did teach you that lesson, despite whether or not you thought you were getting it at that time.
Oh, yeah.
You got it. Oh, you got it. He was trying to make you understand, and he did.
Oh, he did.
And that's outstanding, the fact that you were capable of expanding your route and really recognizing that you had the power and the ability to do that for yourself. That's awesome. So what did you find to be one of the most difficult parts of becoming an entrepreneur? You know, multiple years later, post the age of 12, you have gone on and built up your own business. When you were an employee making that transition into building your company, what did you feel was one of the more difficult pieces of taking those first steps?
Really, one of the most difficult steps is the courageousness to do it. Because what happens as an employee, you, after some years of being an employee, you're really trained to do certain things in your life as an employee. So as an entrepreneur, it's certain habits that you have to take on to be successful as an entrepreneur. And the difficult part is transitioning and even having the courage to even take the first step, but transitioning from that employee mindset to the entrepreneur mindset. And it doesn't happen overnight. You just have to accept the fact that, okay, I'm in transition. It's going to take some time to take on these new habits that I need to take on to be successful as an entrepreneur. So I believe even in coming in contact with other people who want to become entrepreneurs, that's the toughest part, the courage and taking on this new mindset and new habits in order to be an entrepreneur.
Definitely having to push aside the fear, you know, and recognizing that mindset is the foundation of success. If your mindset isn't there and, you know, you're not recognizing what you need to do, when you need to do it, and know that you're going to be successful, and that's what it takes, knowing.
Oh, yes.
Not the, you know, not try means fail. That's something that my father used to tell me all the time. You know, if you're going to try to do something, you're going to fail at it.
Oh,
so you're
true.
Either going to do it or you're not. It's one or the other.
Yep.
definitely. Hugh, how do you feel that technology assisted you as you decided to build your business? How do you feel that, you know, as you began creating your business and creating operations and procedures in your day-to-day functions, how do you feel that technology has assisted in that?
Actually, technology has simplified the process of becoming an entrepreneur and getting your message out not only nationally but internationally. Years ago, before the internet was actually up and running and some of these tools, technological tools were in place, it was a lot of work to get started. You know, it required a brick and mortar. You know, you had to get a store or something to do your thing, whatever that thing is as far as a business. Right. You had to advertise, get your word out. So what technology has done for myself and just about anybody that wants to become an entrepreneur, it's simplified the process and lowered the bar as far as what it's going to cost you and the time that you'll have to invest to get started and ramp your particular business up. For example, years ago, you would have to, when the internet actually took place, you would have to pay a person who knew how to build a site thousands right. of dollars. Now it's point and click. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing with landing pages, same thing with sending out emails. You got autoresponders and all these different tools that really don't, when you add them up, really don't cost that much. If you can set aside a few dollars each month for your budget, let's say, for example, $100 a month, that's enough to have your website, have your autoresponder, have your landing pages, and the technological things that you can use to start your business and ramp it up.
Right. Certainly. And for streamlining processes is somewhat what we were just covering, as you were mentioning. It really has simplified. Technology has allowed for people to use multiple different tools, as you were just mentioning, from autoresponders to email to landing pages to websites as a whole. You know, it's just made it so that it's more cost effective. In fact, building your business on the web is probably the most cost-effective method of building a business in this day and age. It cuts out a good, I'd say, 80% of the overhead in terms of starting a business when you are comparing it to something of a brick-and-mortar nature. Hugh, what do you think prospective entrepreneurs should really take into consideration before they decide to take the leap or before they decide to make their transition into an entrepreneurial venture?
I believe anyone that's interested in taking the leap should sit down with a piece of paper and a pen, not a computer or a tablet, but it's something magical about writing when you're planning something out. So sit down and figure out what is your why. Why do you want to do it? It can't be money, because at first you may not make any money. It may be a year or two before you make any money at all. You know, so your why cannot be money. So figure out what your why is. Is it more time with the family? Is it the ability to travel more? So figure out what your why is. Also consider, you hear a lot of people talk about follow your passion. Mm-hmm. That's not completely true. It's half true.
Right.
You have to consider your passion, but at the same time, like I told you in the earlier $5 story, you have to consider what frustrates you too, you know. Mm-hmm. And those two things together is going to create the framework of what you can do as an entrepreneur. After that, you need to consider what are the resources that you have at hand right now. Because part of becoming successful is going to be leverage. Leverage is using some of the tools or the knowledge and know-how of other people. So part of those tools is going to be, what connections do you have in addition to what tools do you have at home? Like, do you have a computer? Do you have access to the internet? If you don't have those things, you can still get started, because when I started one business, I actually used the local library. I didn't have a computer myself, so I used their computer and their internet. So mm-hmm. it's different ways. By listing your resources, you'll know, okay, this is what I'm missing. Okay, where can I find it? What connections right. can I make to fill that gap?
Right.
And just understand that if you choose in your mind to be successful, You can do it. It's 80% mind and 20% actual physically going out there and doing it.
Certainly. Again, it's mindset being the basis and the foundation for the success. As long as you decide that you're going to do something, if you stick to it, take baby steps in that direction, you're going to get there. You'll get there eventually. There might be bumps in the road. There might be things that come up. But, you know, taking baby steps in a direction that you've chosen is really what it boils down to. And, you know, like you said, Hugh, following your passion is a portion of it. But making sure that that passion also has a viable business plan attached to it, you know, making sure that there is a market and you've done the research to make sure that that passion has a need that's going along with it. So you can really build out that plan and make sure you recognize what those needs are going to be and what it is, like you said, that's going to frustrate you in terms of building a business in that manner or around that particular niche. So great pieces to focus on there. Hugh, what do you think would be one of the bigger things you would caution entrepreneurs against?
I would say a lot of entrepreneurs that I've met in the decades that I've been an entrepreneur is the number one mistake is thinking that it's all going to work out fast. Oh, I'm going to be a millionaire in a year. And what that causes people to do is when they don't become a millionaire in a year, or if it doesn't happen as fast as they think it's going to happen, they drop out.
Right.
They give up. Mm-hmm. So to me, and for those folks who have the resources to spend to build their business, what that causes them to do is overspend because they figure, okay, that's all right. I'll spend this $20,000 or $30,000 because I'm going to make it back in a year anyway.
Right.
And that may be true, but in most cases it's not true. So I think that's the number one mistake that a lot of entrepreneurs, they read stories about, oh, you know, how this entrepreneur made $7 million and they've only been in business for 12 months or 24 months, and they think that translates to them. And it may, and in some rare cases, it may. But in most cases, it's not. Really, you have to commit yourself to be really to your dream. Are you faithful to your dream? And you have to understand that it's not just about you.
Right.
It's about the people that your business is going to serve. Are you faithful to helping those people that you say your business is going to serve? So it's just understanding that it's not going to happen overnight. In some rare cases, it will. And just accept that, hey, I'm committed. I'm in it for the long run. I'm in it for life. You know, if you can go into business like that, you'll be all right.
Yes. It's bringing it back to the why, knowing why it is you're doing what you're doing, because that why in and of itself should be that motivator for you. When you figure out that why, there shouldn't be any other questions as to how motivated and how committed you are. And that's something I think that some people sometimes don't take as much time as they should initially, you know, in doing the research and really researching not just the market, but researching themselves and really seriously taking the time to think about why, you know, what it is they're doing and why it is that they're choosing to do what they're doing. So Hugh, thank you again. As you know, the show is designed really to help entrepreneurs come up with ideas for new innovative companies to solve the pain in an industry that they may not have thought of beforehand. So, you know, I want to see that our audience can hopefully come up with a solution to something that's been plaguing you. If you had a magic wand, Hugh, and could change anything at all in your business, what would it be and why?
I think the number one thing for me is the leverage of having an avenue to share my ideals, because I'm committed. It's not about me, just like I mentioned earlier. It's about spreading the ideals that I have to help entrepreneurs, mainly the ones that are starting off, because that's the toughest part is starting and getting that momentum. So just having an avenue to share the lessons that I've learned over the last 30, 40 years, whether it's through making appearances on podcasts, sharing some of the techniques that I've developed and learned on your blog or through social media. So it's just having more leverage to spread the things that I've learned that can help entrepreneurs out.
That's excellent. Well, I hope that we have assisted in that manner.
Okay, you have.
I hope we have in a small, minute way thus far. And we will definitely be in conversation to see if there are other ways that we can be of assistance. But, Hugh, I thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. We are absolutely thrilled to have had you share so much knowledge and information. So I thank you.
Oh, okay. It's been a real pleasure. I thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Hugh. If you heard nothing else, know your why. Know your why. That's your motivator. That's the key to success. Know why you want to do what it is that you're doing. And don't forget to reach out to Hugh through the show notes page on our website. We have a new domain name. As I said, many, many changes, big things happening. So our new domain is technologyequality.com. technologyequality.com/Hugh Lee Johnson. Just go to technologyequality.com. Thank you again for joining me, everyone. And until our next episode, where we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.